Well, we have just come out of the Passover and the days of unleavened bread. We started marching towards Pentecost. However, the world that we live in is anything but peaceful. It is a world that is increasingly dangerous and deceitful. Does this world sound anything like the one we read about in Ezekiel 22? So if you would, please open your Bibles and turn to Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22, and we'll go to verse 23. I thought it was interesting how Mr. Opichka's message and mine will dovetail nicely today. He spoke about ancient Israel and those who were governing it. Let's go to Ezekiel 22 and verse 23. And it says, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, say to her, you are a land that is not cleansed or rained on in the day of indignation. The conspiracy of her prophets in her midst is like a roaring lion tearing the prey. They have devoured people. They have taken treasure and precious things. They have made many widows in her midst. Her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. They have hidden their eyes from my Sabbaths so that I am profaned among them. Her princes in her midst are like wolves tearing the prey, to shed blood, to destroy people, and to get dishonest gain. Her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar, seeing false visions and divining lies for them, saying, Thus says the Lord God, when the Lord God had not spoken. The people of the land have used oppressions, committed robbery, and mistreated the poor and needy, and they wrongfully oppress the stranger. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall, a stand, and stand in the gap before me on behalf of the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found no one." Brethren, we are called by God at this time to be that person who builds a wall and stands in the gap to defend God's way. A person who builds a spiritual wall of faith against this world, a wall that protects our heart and mind from sin so we can be that man or woman of faith. Today, I want to give three keys to building your spiritual wall of faith. The first key is use the right materials to build your wall. Don't build your wall with untempered mortar. Ezekiel 22, verse 27 says, "Her prophets plastered them with untempered mortar." Now, at work, we had a wall that got nudged by one of the trucks at work. And this wall had stayed upright for about 30 years. And this one truck just barely nudged this wall, and the entire wall, about 100 feet, just started to slowly lean like it was going to collapse. Everybody saw this wall. Everybody drove by it every day. We thought it was all structurally sound. And yet just this one little nudge from this truck caused this wall to just about fall over. It was a nice looking wall, looked great from the outside, but in reality, it was really a weak wall. We had to tear that wall down and replace it. What kind of a wall are we building? Verse 26 of Ezekiel 22 says, "Her priests have violated my law and profaned my holy things. They have not distinguished between the holy and the unholy, nor have they made known the difference between the unclean and the clean. And they have hidden their eyes from my Sabbaths so that I am profaned among them." Do you realize that there's a very large mainstream Christian church today that is dividing over whether homosexual priests can lead their church? They cannot determine between the holy and the unholy. That's going on in our country today. What else is attacking our spiritual walls? Well, if it's not this worldly definition of spiritual leadership, then what about our own self? We've just come out of the spring holy days. We've recommitted ourselves to God, but aren't we fighting something ourselves? It's easy to look at the world and say, "See, the world is bad. The world is not good," and kind of think that we're just fine in our little world behind our wall. But what about our own carnal nature? What about our own untempered mortar? Romans 8:5 says, "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be." 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified," in other words, you don't stand up to the test, "but I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified." Are we like that wall? Looks really good, but when the negative things of this world or our own carnal nature hit, that wall just kind of collapses. Well, 2 Corinthians 13 says, let's test ourselves now. Let's double check and make sure that we are actually using good materials in our wall. Romans 6:12 says, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." Mr. Opichka hit on this too, as he was talking about properly understanding judgment, mercy, and faith. We have our own carnal nature to battle against and keep in check. We need to look no further than our own selves to make sure that we are not using untempered mortar as we build our spiritual wall. James 1:12 says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been proved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." My question would be to you, for you today, are we being drawn away? And it can happen subtly. But are we looking like a really strong wall, but being drawn away subtly by sin? "Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived by my beloved brethren." So it's our job to make sure that we are examining ourselves. We did that during Passover, the Passover season. Now, as we make our trek to Pentecost, let's continue to do that. Let's continue to get rid of the sin, the leavening that would be in our lives. Let's stay unleavened as we march towards Pentecost. Well, we've heard about then the things that we shouldn't be building with. We shouldn't be building with the lusts of the flesh and the other things, and we shouldn't be building our spiritual wall with what the world says to build with. But what should we use then? What are the materials that we should be using so that we can have a strong wall that God can use? Number one, the number one building block that we've got to turn to is God's word. The problem for this world and for many people in this world is that they don't understand. They haven't opened their Bibles to really find out what God says. Let's talk about John 17:17. That's probably a memory verse for you. "Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth." Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." If we're not reading God's word, how can it really cut into our marrow, into our flesh, and into the very, you know, basic parts of our being? How can we have that if we're not reading God's word? We have to. "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And we will give account to God Almighty for how we lived our lives." So use his word, open our Bibles, and find out what God has to say about how we should be living. God's word reminds us of building a strong foundation, and that foundation has got to be with Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." 1 Peter 2:6 says, Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. If we're going to be building our wall, let's start with Jesus Christ and the absolute rock solid assurance of what he's done for us. Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men that by which we must be saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God loves us and wants to save us. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and that men love darkness. They loved untempered mortar rather than they loved light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. They don't want to hear about the Bible. They don't want to hear about what God's word says. They might talk about love, but love to them is just acceptance of everything. That's not what love is. That's not what God says. So when we open our Bible, we find out that God might be a patient God, but there is a limit to his patience. God loves us and wants us to love his way of life. Build on that foundation, that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and lead a life that goes with the truth of God. What are some of the other things that we would use in tempered mortar? We've talked about the foundation being laid with Jesus Christ, but what other things would we use for tempered mortar or to build that wall? Let's go to Ecclesiastes 12, please. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil." There is a coming judgment for all of us, and this should give us put a certain amount of proper fear within us, that we would pay attention to what God is saying. But I wanted to point out the word keep here. Fear God and keep his commandments. That word's actually the Hebrew word shamar. It means to hedge about with thorns. To actually, you think of it there, where you have the commandments of God and you have this hedge of thorns that go around the commandments to protect them, not to play any games with them, that we would hold on to them that tightly, and with that type of a defense mechanism set up with these thorns around them so that we don't lose them. That's what shamar means when it comes to the commandments. So part of the building materials would be to use the commandments of God. Proverbs 3:1 says, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you." Other parts of the tempered mortar would be godly wisdom. Second Peter 1:4 says, "For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust." Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Proverbs 8:12 says, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, to hate pride and arrogance and the evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate." That's from Proverbs 8, verse 12. So another ingredient that we would use when we're creating this mortar for our spiritual wall, number one, we've used the faith in Jesus Christ. Number two, we've used the commandments of God. Number three, we've sought out the wisdom of God, and that's to hate evil, pride, and arrogance. What other things would we use in this mix? You know, we recently had some construction done. Other than that wall, we had some other construction done at work where they had to tear up the old concrete. There was actually some settling and the concrete was falling in. And the concrete masons were, I was talking with them and they said, well, you know, when we tore this piece of concrete out, we could see that there was virtually no rebar in that concrete. So it was really weak. It was very thin, weak concrete. Didn't look like it was really poured well. We, however, are going to be using double rebar, 8 inches of concrete thick. We're going to be putting in a special mixture of lime and other chemicals in it so that when that concrete hardens, it's going to be rock solid. It's going to be able to stand up to an earthquake. You can drive trucks on it. It'll be really solid concrete. Well, we've talked about building our wall, a strong wall. We start with Jesus Christ. We keep the commandments of God. We ask for godly wisdom as we go along. What other thing could we use in our mixture to create this wall? Let's go to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from my wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. That binding agent that works in conjunction with the Holy Spirit, that binding agent is humility. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Proverbs 22:4 says, with humility and the fear of the Lord come riches and honor and life. That binding agent then, that humility mixed with the Holy Spirit, the keeping of God's commandments, the foundation of Jesus Christ, that will make a strong wall. So point number one, if you're going to build a strong wall, use good materials. Use Jesus Christ. Keep the commandments of God. Have faith in Christ. Be humble. And make sure that we use those ingredients to create that strong wall. But after we've done that, after we've started to make this wall, is that it? Second point is, it takes work to build a strong wall. I'm going to read you a letter from a man that I've known for, I think, about 10 years. He said this. This man, let me back up and just say that this man that I've known, I've seen grown tremendously over the years, and I consider him a friend. And this is why. He said, good morning, Bob. Just wanted to express something to you. You asked why or how I quit drinking and using. I have to say that everyone is different. We don't all quit for the same reasons. Each individual has to fight his own demon. It's important first that the person accepts they need help. Second, the person has to want help. If they don't, well, we can't force them. Mainly because we would need to be with them 24 hours a day, watching their every step and knowing when to back off. It was hard for me. I'm an alcoholic, drug addict. I couldn't do one thing without doing something else. I'm embarrassed of the person I was. I hate myself for what I put the people I love through, especially my mom. I'm blessed that she got to know me again as a clean and sober person. I struggled. I remember drinking and asking God to help me stop, holding a pipe to my mouth or a straw to my nose and asking God to help me. It was always, help me, please, Lord, help me. And now? Well, life is still life. It's not perfect, And I joke to people that the way it's going, I might as well go back to the old me. I mean, what's the difference? Well, the difference is that in those times, when I feel like life is just kicking me to the ground, I'm not high or drunk. So I make better choices to better the situation. He's building his wall. No matter what it is, I'm confident that me not being impaired is the best I can do. That takes work, but that's godly work. Friends that knew me when I was an addict don't even know what to say because they didn't think I could overcome my problems or my addictions. I'm one of the lucky ones. And his final thoughts to us today are, last thought, our Lord, our God, love can conquer anything with a little bit of help from the one that wants it. I want to remind you of what he said again, because it speaks to the work of God. I told you the second point is work. It's really the work of God. The last thought he says, our Lord and our God and love can conquer anything with a little bit of help from the one that wants it. Those are powerful words. Those words show us that it's going to take work to overcome this world, to overcome Satan, the devil, to overcome our own carnal nature. But that's a good work. That's a solid work, and that will build a solid wall. Let's take the time to do that. 1 John 1:8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a beautiful scripture. Revelation 21:7, speaking of working, it says, he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Those who don't want to work on building their spiritual wall of faith with Jesus Christ, that is their outcome. But if we do, God forgives us of the past, and he gives us the opportunity to build that wall. Philippians 2, verse 12 says, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, so that you may have that wall. Without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And that is exactly what we want. That's what God's calling us, to shine as lights, to be that wall in a crooked and perverse world. Well, after we've started that wall, after we've used the good materials, after we put in the effort, no matter how hard it is, we've asked God for the strength and the help to build that wall of faith. What's the third thing? Well, the third thing comes back from Ezekiel 22. It says, after we build that wall, we're supposed to defend it. We're supposed to stand in the gap. Ephesians 6:10, if you please. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the schemings of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Stand in the gap. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, that which you will be able to, so that you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We started building our wall with the Word of God. Now he's saying, pick up that word and use that as our sword. 1 Timothy 6:12 says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made good your confession in the presence of many witnesses. If we've built that wall, let's fight for it. My question is, how close is your weapon? How much are we studying the Word of God? Give you a challenge for this week. The challenge is this. Take the amount of time that you spend on social media and then double that time and spend it with reading God's Word. I guarantee you, you'll come out of this week a stronger Christian. Nehemiah 4:17. This is back in ancient Israel when, after they had gone into captivity, Cyrus allowed certain people to go back and And here's Nehemiah. He said, those who built on the wall and those who carried burdens loaded themselves so that one hand they worked at construction and with the other hand they held a weapon. That's how close to them they kept God's word. Every one of the builders had his sword girded at his side as he built. Are we that type of a man? Are we, or woman, are we holding on to the sword that God's given us? Are we reading our Bibles and reminding ourselves, our minds, of what God's truth is? Mr. Opichka talked about how he looked at this judgment, mercy, and faith a little bit differently this time because he was spending time with the Word of God. The world doesn't want you to be building your wall. It wants to tell you what wall you should have. God has provided us freedom from that. Don't let anybody dissuade you from building your wall. Let's go to Ezra 4. Ezra 4, verse 3. Ezra 4, verse 3. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the heads of the fathers' houses of Israel said to them, you may do nothing with us to build a house for our God, but we alone will build to the Lord God of Israel, as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, has commanded us. Then the people of the land tried to discourage them, tried to discourage the people of Judah. They troubled them in building and hired counselors. Well, they told all kinds of new information. They were very woke in trying to discourage them from building their spiritual wall of truth based on the Word of God. Right here, this word is what we build with. Not this world's definition of good and evil. Nehemiah 2 says, so I went up in the night of the valley and viewed the wall. Then I turned back and entered by the valley gate and so returned. And the officials did not know where I had gone or what I had done. He secretly had looked at the wall. Verse 17, then I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. Jerusalem had left God. And eventually their walls were broken down. That can happen in our lives. And I told them of the hand of God, which had been good upon me, and also the king's words, which he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. And then they set their hands to do this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Geshem the Arab heard of it, they laughed us to scorn. Oh, you believe in the God of Israel? You believe in the Ten Commandments? You believe that you're going to be judged by God? You believe that you have a responsibility to live by his way of life that you find in the Bible? They laugh you to scorn if you admit that. And despised us and said, what is this thing that you are doing? Will you rebel against the king? Will you go against this world? So I answered them and said to them, the God of heaven himself will prosper us. Therefore, we, his servants, will arise and build. But you have no heritage or right or memorial in Jerusalem. We will build that wall. Our own human nature may go against us. This world will go against us. But God has called us out of this world. God has called us to build that spiritual wall of faith. Brethren, we live in a world that's decaying. Our politicians lie to us. Our churches throw out the Bible in the name of tolerance and love. And we are coming under greater and greater oppression as Christians. We need to stay strong in the Lord. We need to ask God for help in building our wall of faith to protect our hearts and minds. In Ezekiel 22, the Eternal searches for a man or a woman among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before him on behalf of the land. He's called us to do that. Ask God this week to help you build your wall. Ask him to help make it strong. Use his ingredients, the word of God, the commandments of God, the humility of God, the wisdom of God. Then let's ask God for the strength to overcome our sins. It takes work. It's going to take work, but it's good work, and it leads to God's kingdom. Let's fight for our wall of faith and not let anyone or anything discourage us from defending it. Happy Sabbath.